Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Yes, I am, in fact, your host, Todd Huff, and you are listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. It is, Wednesday? You know, I thought all day, I've been thinking all day it was Thursday. I don't know why, but it is Wednesday. It's February 17th. It's a pleasure to be here. Email address, should you want to reach out, connect, is Todd, T-O-D-D, at theantidotetoliberalism.com. Twitter handle is at Common Sense Gear. Assuming that they will let you as a conservative, assuming you're a conservative, libertarian, what have you, assuming they'll let you connect with me. I don't know if you've seen that. You know, I started this 6 months ago. I have one of my staff members at Huff Promotional Strategies, which is the main business that I operate. I have one of my staff members help me from time to time, but it's essentially just me. I've got some folks that do some contract work for us, like the voiceover stuff that you hear from Glenn Harris, some things like that, the parody songs, stuff like that. But it's essentially me. But we do use social media. I'll be honest with you, social media, I like to connect with people. I don't really get into the nameless, faceless, social media components. I don't get into the parts where everyone wants to tell every little detail about their lives. I do like to get information that is relevant, information, you know, stories or commentary or insight on certain things. I don't mind to get that. So I'm not a huge social guy. I use it to connect, and I love to connect with you, the listener. I do. And we use Twitter. We use Facebook. Look, I don't use it as much as maybe I should. I think we've got Twitter, Facebook. I actually started using teapartycommunity.com, which is kind of it's actually very similar to Facebook. But it's for conservatives, it's for Tea Party folks. I think there's 150,000 users, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a lot much smaller than Facebook, but people that you'll find there that are more ideologically in line with probably what you believe. And we've got I've got a YouTube channel that we're working on posting our new, you know, our new episodes to it. That's temporarily on pause as I've been restructuring a few things. We've got SoundCloud. I mean, we're in a bunch of places. But I read, and we did the Daily Dose about this today. I read the social media police are out in full force. I guess that's really my point. So whether you want to, first of all, look at the story in Breitbart that says Twitter is, quote-unquote, shadow banning conservative users. That's nice. Apparently, they're going through a process where they're blacklisting people that apparently do not tweet, as this would include me, incidentally, and probably you if you have a Twitter account. We don't tweet. The politically correct Obama-approved message of the day, which, look, right now is apparently that Obama should be given a green light to appoint whomever he wants to be the next Supreme Court nominee, Supreme Court justice serving in the vacancy left by the tragic loss of Antonin Scalia over the weekend. Apparently, if you start tweeting things like that, which we'll talk more about that in a minute, but if you start tweeting things like that, you will be in the whitelisted section of Twitter where you'll be given some preferential treatment. I mean, this is great. This is fantastic. This is free speech at its finest. Look, and I understand. Listen, there is a difference between government censoring speech and private companies saying, you know, this is how we're going to do things. There is a difference. There's a dramatic difference. I mean, people can tell me that I'm wrong. In fact, I use this example on the Daily Dose today. I'm a Christian. I make no bones about this. Look, why be a Christian if you're going to make bones about this? Why make the statement that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is perfect, that he is sinless, that he came in the form of man while being fully God, dying upon the cross for your sins and for mine, being placed in a tomb, and then rising, being raised from the dead on the third day, proving that he, A, was God, and B, that he was victorious over both sin and death. If I'm going to make a statement that I agree with it, that's a radical belief. I mean, people don't just raise from the dead, right? People don't just come to earth and say, hey, I'm going to take away the sins of the world. Hey, I am, Jesus saying this, of course, God in the flesh. These are radical beliefs, and we have a radical God that was willing to send his son to do that. But if you're going to have that radical belief, you better be prepared to stand by it. You know, it has consequences in today's world, and apparently one of those consequences is to be shadow banned on Twitter, to have your tweets not be available for others to see, to dampen your message, to censor your speech. And there is a difference, as I said, between government doing that and private companies, but we should not stand for this sort of thing. I mean, who does Twitter think it is? They're still struggling to find a way how to make money over there. Right now, they're basically operating as a charity. They're unable to turn a profit. And if this lasts without any end in sight, they're not going to be able to sustain themselves. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a defender of free speech, you should be able, I should be able, we should be able to say, no matter what the idea being communicated over Twitter, free speech allows it. Now, as I said on the Daily Dose, if someone says Todd's a Christian, Christians are idiots, Christians are fools, Christians place their hope in a, you know, something that's not real, they're living in fantasy world, these are the sorts of things, you know, if you've been a Christian, or even a conservative for that matter, you know, we're pictured, we're portrayed as being these antiquated, backwards, unsophisticated bunch of hillbillies from God knows where, central Indiana, apparently. And that's how we're portrayed. Now, they can say that if they want. They can portray me that way if they want. In a society where free ideas flow and where I can actually respond to that and say, these are actually the reasons, incidentally, I believe in this, which, funny enough, they never want to go down this road because conservatism and Christianity are both full of reason and logic. Both of them are. And they don't want to go down that road of ideas. They want to bully. They want to silence. They want to just simply remove your messages from the airwaves. Well, in this case, from the social media platform. Just wash it away and have everyone get in line. And you can say whatever you think, so long as it complies with Twitter, which apparently has to comply with what the Emperor Obama says. But it's not just here, and this should be terrifying enough, because look, free speech is only there so long as we are willing to protect that right. And there's a difference between free speech and making a threat. I mean, we have ISIS on here. ISIS is trying to organize and find fighters to destroy Americans, destroy American society, cause upheaval, war, death, mayhem. This is not free speech. This becomes an act of war, an act of aggression, an act of violence. This is no longer an exchange of ideas. If you want ISIS, if you want to convince us that your Islam, that your faith is the right path, you're free to do that. You are free to convince us. that it is the right path, but do it in a free, do it where you're exchanging free ideas. Now, ironically, they want nothing to do with that. And I'm going to tell you, when you have a group of people that do not want to have freedom of ideas, freedom of exchange, it's because their ideas cannot stand on their own. And lovers of freedom, we should want all people, especially those who have ideas that are those that we vehemently disagree with. I vehemently disagree with an atheist. I vehemently disagree with a liberal. But you know what? Because conservatism, because Christianity are built upon logic, common sense, truths of life as we know it, as God made the universe to work, I believe, as do you more than likely, and if you don't hear me out, I believe that these ideas will triumph over any opposing force, given the full light of day, given the opportunity for both sides to vet the ideas, to challenge and question the ideas, to see both for what they are, to see opposing viewpoints for what they are. I think more times than not, people are going to come down and say, conservatism, constitutional conservatism works. It makes a lot of sense. Someone like an Antonin Scalia makes a lot of sense, has done tremendous good for America and by extension, the world. And then, of course, Jesus. I believe that given the opportunity, and there are numerous examples of this, whether it be Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, lots of folks that sought, in many cases, to disprove the gospel, to disprove that Jesus was the Messiah, that actually wrote books proclaiming the exact opposite, that as they began to delve in and study the subject matter and look at the historical evidence, look at what they found through the crucifixion, the resurrection, through biblical archaeology and so forth, through philosophical study, through the words of Christ, what have you, they found that this story about Jesus really was believable. And believable so much that they were willing to abandon their lack of belief, abandon their need to disprove Christianity and actually say, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to wholeheartedly accept this and claim as my Savior, Jesus. But for those that don't want to do it, fine. Ridicule it. Insult it. Insult me. Tell me I'm stupid. That's all fine with me. I don't particularly care about that. But truth is truth. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He also is the light of the world. Jesus will illuminate. God's truth will illuminate. And placed up against an empty ideological philosophy, one that promises great things but delivers nothing, like socialism or atheism, put side by side, it's obvious which is the preferred ideology. And if you still want to choose the other, go for it. Make your choice. Choose for yourselves this day. And if you're a liberal, socialist, believer in socialist utopia, I defend your right. I want to give you, I want to protect your right to proclaim your ideas. You are a free individual, and God created you as such to believe what you want. Even unfortunately, if that leads to bad consequences for you. We are all autonomous. We all have the ability to worship and have the worldview that we so desire, that we believe is correct, that we want to pursue, so long as it does not infringe upon my right to have my beliefs, my right to be able to tell you what I think, my right to say and worship and associate with whomever I wish. Unfortunately, that's one of the reasons why this militant form of Islam doesn't work, because they want to squash any opposition. The same thing that communists wanted to do. The communists in the Soviet Union did not like any information about the West getting to their people because the people there could see that, wow, the standard of living is so much better in the United States. They don't have bread lines there. They have wealth. They have prosperity. They have a higher standard of living than us. So when free speech is allowed to permeate the culture, and when truth is there for anyone to see that chooses to see it, good things happen. When you have a bad idea, or you have an ideology that's bankrupt, you don't want people to see the truth. So I say bring on the free speech. Now there's a story of a man, this is in Breitbart as well. A man in Scotland is actually arrested for Facebook posts that he made being critical or supposedly offensive to Syrian refugees. Now, I'm going to note that this is not in the United States yet. I'm going to note that there's apparently a law in Scotland that is called the Communications Act, which, according to this article, bans quote-unquote grossly offensive and menacing posts to online platforms, of which, of course, Facebook would be one. So apparently this man made a post about Syrian refugees that violated this law in Scotland. Now, do I believe that this violates this? Now, I don't know what the guy said. Ironically, we don't know what the post said because the authorities would not release them, to the media. So we don't even know what the post say. The post says or say how many posts there are. I'm not entirely sure. But he's arrested for this. Arrested for exercising his God-given right to communicate. Now, this may be a series of posts that are hateful, ugly. I have no idea. Full of vitriol, full of nothing but lies and deceit. I have no idea. I mean, it could be, as I've just described there, it could be a series of posts, a series of comments by this man that sound very much how President Obama describes the conservative Christian, with vitriol and animosity and just, well, in many cases, contempt, with anger. Or they could be innocent Facebook posts that say, look, these refugees are causing problems across Europe, which, as a matter of fact, many of them have been. Not the ones, ironically, that really need the help, not the families that are seeking asylum and safety from the madmen running rampant in the Middle East, thanks to the vacuum that we've created there, in large part thanks to our dear leader, Emperor Obama himself. But this sort of thing, we have a group of liberals, a group of socialists that holds Europe up on this pedestal that says, this is who we need to aspire to be. European socialism, as they call it, democratic socialism, is what we aspire to be. Ironically, say what you will about this, but the ultimate goal of socialism is communism. I'm just telling you, they're patient, they'll wait. But a little control is not enough. A little control is never enough. We either have limited government with clearly defined roles that the people are willing to continually keep in check through, in our case, three equal branches of government, or you have a government that has no restraint, that tells you it's going to stop at socialism, but they constantly march on. It's never enough control. Never enough. I'm telling you, it is never enough control, to the point where the ultimate hardcore big government folks put people in re-education camps, the gulags. People were executed for what they believed. You couldn't believe in God. You couldn't believe anything bad about the benevolent dictator. You had a disagreement with Fidel Castro, with Joseph Stalin, that never ended well. ended at least in torture, imprisonment, and sometimes death, maybe even many times death. Socialism is not this benign, harmless little fuzzball. Socialism is a corrupt ideology with which we are engaged, with which we are engaged in an epic battle right now. We're battling between socialism and free markets, between freedom and liberty, and government control and provision. And we've got choices to make. We've got choices to make in 2016 here at the end of the year, well, beginning now with the nomination process. And it's not just the president, it's the Senate, it's the House, it's with the Supreme Court justice. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to take our first break here, and we're going to talk about the Supreme Court justice when we get back. So sit tight. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. We'll be back in just a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try? Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. It is Wednesday. It is February 17th. By the way, we go live on Red State Talk Radio. That's right, Red State Talk Radio on Monday, February 22nd. Going to start putting that out on social media platforms, so long as the government doesn't take them down or hide my tweets or Facebook posts. Maybe I should be like Kanye and beg Mark Zuckerberg, instead of for $50 million or $1 billion or whatever he asked him for, maybe I should say, just don't hide my tweets. Don't hide my Facebook post, Mark. Come on, man. I've got a new development here that I want people to know about. I want people to know about Red State Talk Radio. I want people to be able to listen. You know what? Even listen to liberal shows. I encourage that sometimes. Go right ahead. Listen to some liberal shows, if you can stomach it. And just compare the content of ideas. To me, it's a cut and dry, clear as can be, differentiation between the two. But anyway, we're going to be on Red State Talk Radio. I'm going to have, you know, we're going to promote this. But we start on Monday, February 22nd. It's a late night, show, 12 to 1 a.m., midnight to 1 a.m., which for online streaming radio is not a bad time slot, because most listeners listen night, you know, nighttime, evening, nighttime, even into the early morning hours. So hopefully we can find some new listeners there and connect there. But I'm going to tweet about that, and hopefully Mark Zuckerberg, the Twitter team, and all and so forth, maybe they will let the message get out that we won't be, maybe they won't be holding my post hostage over this during this launch. So anyway, as I prepare for that, I've got some new commercials to cut. I've actually got a few new sponsors and partners that I just got some ads for today. So you'll be seeing some changes with that. And again, for the next couple of days, our show is going to be abbreviated, as I've got a lot of other things to do in preparation for the launch on Monday. So this show is going to be abbreviated. We won't go as long as we will when we start on Red State Talk Radio, which when that happens, the segments, the show will be 55 minutes long. 55-minute show starting Monday, and that's what you're going to get from us. But in the meantime, it's going to be a little bit shorter. Actually, today maybe significantly shorter, as I've got a lot of things to get done here in the next 5 days. So anyway, I wanted to get right into this whole Supreme Court thing, right? So Justice Scalia passes away over the weekend. Tragically, while on a hunting trip in Texas. I'm not even going to get into all the questions surrounding that. We're just going to pass by that for now. That's a developing story. It could have just been mismanaged. I mean, you've had people that have made a lot bolder comments than that, but he died tragically, unexpectedly, on a hunting trip in Texas. And now I've got an article in the Washington Times. If you remember over the weekend or maybe Monday or even during the debate, actually, on Saturday, folks were being asked, what should the Senate do regarding President Obama's potential nominee for the Supreme Court? Which one thing you can rest assured is the left is not going to let this opportunity go to waste. President Obama is going to appoint someone and try to get them onto the court. And he's not going to appoint someone who thinks like Justice Scalia. He's not going to appoint someone that truly reveres the Constitution. I mean, the leftists can tell me all they want that they revere and respect the Constitution. But if in the next breath you tell me that you want to change it, if you want to tell me that it's a document that changes with the needs of society, my first question is, if that's the case, what exactly did you swear to uphold and protect? And my next question is, if it's so great, why change it? If it's so great, what needs transformed? I mean, the Constitution says in order to form a more perfect union. I mean, it is a constant struggle. It is a job that's never done to make things better, to make the government and this union, this great American experiment, a little bit better. It is a constant process, but it does not look anything like what the leftists tells us it looks like. It does not involve judicial activism. It does not involve looking outside of American law and the Supreme Court, and the Constitution and interpreting decisions for major Supreme Court cases, for making rulings, I should say, on major court cases. It doesn't look anything like that. In fact, I mean, I quoted to you this story about the man in Scotland that's in jail for Facebook posts about Syrian refugees. And I referenced a law that he was jailed based upon. And I've already told you that Supreme Court justices will cite, and in fact, defend their right to cite foreign law in Supreme Court cases. What happens? What happens if they start citing this law? Are your posts safe? Are your tweets safe? I know it sounds crazy. I know it does. You know, you go about your business. You've lived in America. You're 30, 40, 50, however old you are. You've lived in a country that's basically been consistently good, consistently on the side of freedom. But slowly but surely, if you were to look back over your life, if I was to look back over my life, you can see this. Chiseling away. Sometimes more than chiseling. Sometimes they break off major portions of our freedoms and liberties. They reinterpret the Constitution. They find things in the Constitution that aren't there. They tell us things that are clearly there, are not really there, like the Second Amendment. They find a right to an abortion in there somewhere. The right to gay marriage more recently in there. You've got decisions on the Supreme Court's, the Supreme Court decisions on Obamacare that are based in a large degree upon sophistry. So this has a real legitimate consequence for us. And we are dealing with decades of erosion, decades of attack, assault on the foundations of America, of the American way, of American government, on the Constitution, the Declaration, our freedoms and liberties. And in a lot of ways, it's coming to a head here. Now it's 4-4 on the Supreme Court, if we're lucky. And if we're lucky, that's not even necessarily the case. John Roberts has crossed the aisle on numerous occasions, looking more and more like one that does not seek to interpret the Constitution itself without interjecting his own opinions, ideas, things that maybe aren't even there. I mean, we may be lucky to get a 4-4. And now if Obama nominates someone, if this person is to get through, we have major problems. So back to the debates on Saturday. The candidates were all asked, should the Senate basically approve or consider an Obama nominee? And they all said no. And they're right. They should not. I've laid this out before. We are in an election year. We have a major philosophical battle for the hearts and minds of Americans. We have hardcore socialism. We have constitutional conservatism. We have just the belief that all of Washington is broken. Bring someone in there to clean up the mess. Ideology aside, with Donald Trump, we got people all over the board. We've got people that are prepared to elect a criminal. Potential criminal. Possible criminal. And now there's stories, as in the Washington Times, it says the GOP might be caving against their hardcore stance against Obama appointing a nominee to the Supreme Court. And you got the experts telling us this is bad strategy, blah, blah, blah. The same people that never want to fight anything. I mean, Ted Cruz is going about this the right way. We absolutely know what Obama thinks of the Constitution. He doesn't think much of it. Now he's out there lecturing us, incidentally, which is the irony of ironies. But Ted Cruz is right. I mean, these other guys that have said Obama should not appoint a nominee, we should not consider it, they're right. They should stand firm. No backing down, no cowering, no being afraid of this. Just say, look, this is a monumental decision. We're replacing perhaps the most conservative justice, arguably, maybe even objectively, the most conservative justice, the most, I don't even want to say conservative, the one that actually tries to interpret the most accurately the Constitution and apply it. I mean, Clarence Thomas is great. Justice Alito, they called him Scalito because a lot of times he was compared to Scalia. I mean, those guys are very good. But Scalia was kind of one of a kind. He, if nothing else, his style and personality was incredibly brash. Took no prisoners. And now they want to replace him. They want to let Obama replace him. I mean, if you look at the names that are passed around, bantered around, Loretta Lynch, what, is she going to be painted as the moderate? Loretta Lynch? Give me a break. The real story is not who Obama is going to nominate. The real story is, will the conservatives, will the Republicans stand firm and say no? And Obama's over here telling us that we're not fulfilling our obligation to the Supreme, to the Constitution by hearing his nomination, by giving it serious consideration. I mean, the Senate's job is to advise and to give consent. Now, I know that the left understands consent, and I thought we all had agreement. In fact, you've even seen it taken to the extreme to where these colleges now, and I'm not, look, I'm a Christian, and I'm not one that stands beside any form of, think I'm old-fashioned if you want, but any form of sex outside of marriage. You got these college kids that are about to, have sexual relations. They've got to get out a pen and paper and sign a consent form. This is lunacy at its finest, right? I mean, this is, some of them even want them to take a picture, take their picture with the form giving consent. But we know that consent, that no means no, right? I mean, we all agree upon this. We hear this all the time. No means no. Well, the Republican Senate has said no, and they better stinking stick with no. And now that I think about it, maybe we should give them a consent form. Maybe the Senate, Mitch McConnell or other leaders, or even individually, they should be given a consent form. Do you consent to Obama making a nominee for the Supreme Court in a presidential election year? Hasn't happened in 80 years. Do you agree with this? Yes or no? Do you give your consent? I'd be the first one up there. Like thinking John Hancock signing the Declaration of Independence. You better believe I'd sign that sucker. No. This is an ideological election. The American people can choose the president who can choose the next Supreme Court nominee. And not just the president, mind you, the Senate that's going to give the yay or the nay on that nominee. It's not the president's right to simply willy-nilly have whatever he wants. I mean, this president's become accustomed to that because we've given him a green pass for virtually anything because he's black. I, incidentally, by the way, have a problem with his white half, in case you're wondering. I mean, that's what this conversation's devolved into. You hate Obama because he's black. You hate Hillary because she's a woman. I'm sure we hate Bernie because he's old, whatever. I mean, this is what it turns to. Now, if the person's conservative and someone dislikes Ted Cruz, it's absolutely not because he's Hispanic. Or Marco Rubio, it's not because he's Hispanic. Or Ben Carson, it's not because he's black. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way. But this is what we've allowed this to devolve into. And this is a serious, serious conversation. This is a serious, serious decision. And the Senate better stand firm on this. Absolutely 100% tell them no and let the chips fall where they may. The American people, let's not forget this, gave the Senate back to the Republicans in large part to stop Obama. Here is a perfect chance to do that. U.S. Senate, Mitch McConnell, I know so far you've said the right thing. Here's your chance. Here's your chance to do it. Anyway, I've got to stop here, take one more break. When we get back, we're going to wrap up really quickly, so sit tight, be back in a minute. Are you looking for an alternative to employer-provided health insurance? Maybe your rates have skyrocketed, or maybe your employer doesn't provide health insurance. And then you visited healthcare.gov and realized how much of a debacle Obamacare really is. Why don't you take a look at what my family and I do for our healthcare needs? We're members of Samaritan Ministries, and we absolutely love it. If you're looking for a biblical, non-insurance approach to your healthcare needs, visit theantidotetoliberalism.com/healthcare to learn more. And as an added bonus, my listeners will receive an exclusive $50 credit, but only when you complete the application on my website. Go to theantidotetoliberalism.com to apply or to get more information. My family and I love it, and we think you will too. God bless. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Wednesday, February 17th. Pleasure to be here. By the way, I wanted to pass something on to you, just in my, you know, my day-to-day travels and meetings and so forth. Got word today that to get a carry permit, a concealed carry permit in the state of Indiana, which is my state, There's been so much demand for this that the wait time, once you submit all of your fingerprints and application and all this sort of stuff, once it goes to the state police, which is who ultimately gives the thumbs up or thumbs down here, I've been told that this wait could be up to 3 months now. Just incredible. Absolutely incredible to me. 3 months for this? I don't know. You know, sometimes it looks like, and I live in a relatively, I pause here. There's definitely very conservative pockets in Indiana. There are very moderate pockets in Indiana, and there are liberal pockets of Indiana. We've got Southern Democrats in the southern half of the state. Indiana is unique in a lot of ways, as all states are. But 3 months, I mean, it's almost as though they've collaborated to put yet another obstacle in front of those that want to carry a handgun. So anyway, but it's not just me, incidentally. Back to this thing on Obama and the Supreme Court justices and the Senate. I mean, I'm getting messages. You know I'm a Heritage Sentinel. I'm getting messages right now. Urge the Senate to stand firm. And we should urge the Senate to stand firm. Tell your senator, as Heritage Foundation will tell you, will ask you to do, contact your senator, and this is specifically Senate, and say, hey, we don't need to be appointing any liberal Obama appointee. And don't fall for the line that we need to see who his nominee is. Do you really think for a second Obama is trying to find a middle ground? When has this ever happened in 7 years, in 7+ years? Was it with Obamacare? When they used a questionable tactic to pass through the legislation without a single Republican vote, was that it? Was it on any of his executive decisions? Often executive decisions that went contrary to what Congress, to the will of Congress, or more importantly, to the rule of the Constitution. This man needs to be stopped. We do not need to entertain anything that he says. He is lame duck. Everything he is trying to do should be stopped. We need to stop buying into the lies that Obama is about, or excuse me, that the American people are tired of gridlock. The American people are tired of the right thing not happening in Washington. And the right thing happening is getting someone back on that bench that is a constitutional conservative, one that looks at the Constitution and applies constitutional law as the document instructs. And there can be variations on the understanding of the document. But we don't need any more judicial activists. We don't need any more people that are prepared to legislate from the bench to push through liberalism and socialism and, God forbid, communism. We don't need this stuff. We've got plenty of those justices on there, and they are not very old. Some of them are old, but some of them are going to be on there for a long time. We've got to fight to win this battle. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up. It's a pleasure being here as always. Feel free to email me, connect with me on Twitter, Todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com, or you can connect with me on Twitter @commonsense here until they decide to take it down. So anyway, guys, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.